Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. It's another holiday week, so we are taping this on a Wednesday, the full NFL pod. Mr. Executive Director John Murray is going to be coming up in a little bit, as is Mike Tannenbaum, NFL analyst for us at ESPN. You've heard him here on the pod, done some great stuff already. We're going to pick his brain. Week 17, obviously, such a different animal, right? We know that as bettors. I mean, we even have the Chiefs home underdogs this week to the Chargers. Why? Because they have no incentive. They've already locked up the one seed. So we're going to talk with Mr. Murray about all that, any line moves he has seen. We're going to talk to Mike Tannenbaum about how front offices approach this, not just the rest versus rust teams that go to the playoffs, but even the teams that are kind of looking ahead to next year. Very nuanced was his biggest takeaway. Case-by-case situation. Team like the Patriots, very different than like maybe the Bengals. Things along those lines. So we're going to try to extract a bunch of information and apply it to the point spread and handicap this. And then we'll obviously wrap things up with Baby Bankroll Bonanza. Making a move. A big teaser for myself there. So pretty psyched about that. We've been on a little bit of a roll aside from a couple weeks ago when the Steelers lost at home on Monday night to the Bengals. So a lot to get through, a lot of interesting storylines, playoff scenarios. We'll sort it all out and break down the point spread of these games. But before we get into today's episode, I want to tell everyone about a special ESPN podcast. 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020, a standalone audio documentary that tells the story of the day the NBA shut down and the pandemic became real for many Americans. As told by those who lived the events of that day and built entirely with archival and exclusive interviews, including Rudy Gobert and Dr. Anthony Fauci, March 11th, 2020 will tell the story of a day that started in one reality and ended in a new one. 30 for 30 podcast presents March 11th, 2020. Subscribe and listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Kicking is for losers.
Kicking is certainly for losers, and we saw a lot of situations about along those lines last week, but that's just another week in the NFL as we bring back Mr. Executive Director John Murray. How are you, sir?
You know, I think my favorite laugh of the week, though, was in the Colorado-Texas bowl game last night. Did you see that one? Colorado was down by 14, and they kicked a field goal. Yep. Which would have accomplished nothing, and then the guy missed anyway. Mm-hmm. So that was my favorite. That was my favorite kicking moment of the week that was in college and professional football.
Rome wasn't built in a day, Murray. So we're getting there. We've seen a lot of. Yeah. I mean, look, Joe Judge was a big fan of you, and you know, never refusing to take field goals a couple of weeks ago. So they're getting there. So week 17 is an animal in and of itself. We've seen some amazing situations play out. I mean, it's like you almost have to throw out what happens during the regular season in terms of trends, things like that, just because it's such a different animal. And it's just fascinating. To me, it's fascinating because week 17, like, for example, there's been at least a 7-point upset in week 17 in five straight seasons. You know, we think, oh, a team has to win. The other team has nothing to play for. Well, that's baked into the line. So there's already a tax. Also, teams can play tight, right? With so much riding on it. The other team's playing loose, or a team like, I don't know, the Texans, who haven't had anything like stakes wise for several weeks. Now they feel like maybe against a division rival. Once the league went to the rival or division games in week 17, I think that was a big swing, like, for the fan, because we're seeing teams that typically stink all of a sudden rally around sort of that playoff vibe.
I remember, I think it was 4 years ago, they were called the Redskins at the time. They're now called the Washington Football Team. All they had to do was beat the Giants on the last Sunday of the season at home. The Giants were already in the wild card round, and they lost. They lost the game. They were close to a 10-point favorite in that game. So it's not like we've never seen this happen before, where all a team has to do is win a game against an opponent that, in theory, doesn't care, and they go out there and lose anyway. I think it was 2 years ago, the Vikings, all they had to do was beat Chicago on the last Sunday of the season in Minnesota. Chicago was already in the playoffs, and Chicago won that game. So these things do happen.
And on top of it, it's a league that doesn't have guaranteed contracts. The players are playing hard in and of itself, let alone the other stuff. And the odds makers know the stake, playoff stakes, so they bake it into the line. Like I said, there's a tax. One thing I wanted to ask you, because a lot of these teams may start their starting quarterback but not play the entire game. Are you going – do we see like sort of like we see, we talked about the NBA playoffs with a team down 0-2 coming home, maybe a first quarter line like -3 and the game line's -3, things like that where you might see a different favorite even if like Mahomes is playing the first half but not the game, full game?
We've talked about doing something like that. We would need really concrete information that, you know, so-and-so is going to play the first quarter or the first half. And the teams don't really give you that. They don't really – I feel like there's not – even when they say, like, oh, this guy is going to just play the first half, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen that way. So I don't know that you're going to see what you're referring to where you have those NBA games where, like, the team's down 0-2 and they go back home for game three and they're -4 in the first half and -1.5 for the game. I don't – you know, that's always funny, but I don't think you're going to see that here in the NFL.
Lower limits this week or anything like that?
No, same limits, the same limits that we would always give. I mean, we would probably be a little bit more hesitant if it was a guy that came in on today's Wednesday morning in Las Vegas. If a guy came in on Wednesday that we weren't familiar with, we'd probably be a little bit more hesitant. We might think this individual might have some information. But if it's the players that we know, we would give them the same limits we always give them.
Makes sense. Okay, so let's rip through some of these games. We'll kind of segment them off with these are games that both teams are incentivized. We'll start with Rams-Cardinals, the biggest question marks. We know Goff is out. John Walford, who's a little bit of a dual threat quarterback, so he's more mobile than maybe Goff. And Kyler Murray, we're not sure kind of day-to-day how is the kind of line moved in, on your end here.
Well, we're proceeding as if we think Kyler Murray is going to give this game a go. We have this game up for betting right now. There's a lot of books that don't have it up, especially in the offshore market. But we do have Arizona -1.5 on the board right now at the Westgate. This number was Rams 4.5, 5 without Jared Goff in there. They go to the backup quarterback. You see a pretty significant move. I mean, I know people like to make their jokes about Jared Goff, but we don't know anything about this backup quarterback. We don't know what to think of the Rams here in this game. And on top of that, the Rams just haven't been playing very well lately.
No.
Lost to Seattle last week. Disastrous loss to the Jets the week before that. So that's why you're seeing a big line move there. Not just Goff being out, but also the Rams' recent form has been very poor.
Yeah, going into that Jets game, I believe they were -200 to win the NFC West. That flipped. They were the Seahawks were -200 going into the last week's game, and obviously Seattle took command of that. So I like the Rams if Murray's out. So it's both backups. I trust McVay more than I trust Kingsbury, but I got to wait to see, get the confirmation for that. This is an interesting
game. I agree
with
you on that. I definitely agree with you on that. And I've heard people talking a lot about, you know, McVay or Goff is only good because of McVay, and it's all about McVay. And that might be true. I think we're going to find out a lot Sunday. We'll see how this backup quarterback looks in there.
But I wouldn't unload on Arizona if Murray's going to go. Two reasons. One, Murray's probably going to be limited, right? He's banged up. Even if he goes, it's probably just because it's so much it's at stake that he's going. And McVay is, what, 7-0 in the last seven meetings with Arizona? He's kind of like got it figured out, if you will. So since he's faced Arizona, he's won and covered all seven meetings. So I want no part of Arizona, but it's definitely a green light if Murray's out. This game's fascinating. Steelers and Browns at the Dog Pound. This morning we had some breaking news. We taped Daily Wager early, and the Cleveland facility is closed. COVID, some guys on the defense. But the Steelers, officially, Big Ben is out. So we are getting Mason Rudolph. We know that. Tomlin said maybe some others, but he would only commit to Roethlisberger for now. We got double digits here with the Browns.
Yeah, and when we reopened this game on Sunday evening, part of the conversation that we had centered around Pittsburgh really never got a bye week. They got moved around a lot, like COVID issues in other organizations, teams that were on their schedule. They really had a brutal schedule in terms of getting time off. And we thought this would be a chance for Tomlin to finally rest some of these guys heading into the postseason. And we were right about that. Roethlisberger officially not going to play. We did move the number up even more when we got the official word Roethlisberger wasn't going to play. But we had always kind of lined this game as if the Steelers were going to give it away and wait for the postseason next week. Right now, Cleveland is a 10-point favorite against Pittsburgh here.
Yeah, I like the Browns. I do. I think last week Stefanski said we got the news too late to change our entire game plan to put like maybe Kareem Hunt at wide receiver. I just couldn't do it. I think they're fine. I trust still, the Cleveland's not like choking last week's loss. I think it's just one of those circumstantial. But more importantly, the Steelers, it's not going to be just Big Ben. This team's only played 1.5 good quarters in the last month and change, okay? A lot of these guys don't want any part of this game. They only get the 2 seed if they win and the Bills lose. So I just don't think they're going to be all in. Like you said, they need the bye week. I just think I like the Browns in a route.
It's funny, though, because in the past, the difference between being the 2 seed and the 3 seed was so massive. And teams would absolutely go all in week 17 for a shot at that 2 seed and a first round bye and a chance to play in front of their home fans in the divisional round. And now you don't have a first round bye for the 2 seed. You probably don't have fans, depending on what teams we're talking about. So that the value of the 2 seed versus the 3 seed this year is it's almost nothing. Really, it's very, very little
rest
value.
The rest is so important. And just a couple fun facts before we move to the next game. First time Cleveland is a double-digit favorite over a team with a winning record since 1968. First time Cleveland's been favored by more than a field goal in this rivalry. So Pittsburgh-Cleveland, more than a field goal, and they're 10, 1989. And this is the second time under the entire Mike Tomlin era that the Steelers have been a double-digit dog. That includes last year with Duck Hodges and everything. It was 07 at New England, right? The famous 16-0 team with the Patriots.
Sure.
That was the 16-0 team, right? That was 07?
Yeah, that was I know that very well because that was my year working at what was then called the Hilton Superbook. I was a ticket writer that season, and all I would do all week is write Patriots tickets. I remember that season very well. The other team was, if you remember, Dallas was the 1 seed in the NFC that year.
Yes. The Cabo. I created the Cabo connection touchdown call on my TV highlights.
And all I got was Dallas and New England as a ticket writer that season. If you didn't know the Dallas and New England betting numbers by Saturday, you weren't a very good ticket writer because that was all you typed into your machine. This is before, 70% of the business now is on phone accounts. So these ticket writers we have now are practically on vacation compared to what the old school guys like I had to go through. By the way, just got this Kyler Murray upgraded to probable for Sunday against the Rams. Just got that note.
Romo to Witten, in case you were wondering what the Cabo connection is. Go look it up.
I remember.
Dolphins at the Bills. Miami obviously needing to get into the playoffs. Bills, like I just mentioned, if they win, they're the 2 seed. Even if they lose and the Steelers lose, they're the 2 seed. We're not really sure how McDermott's going to play it. He is a disciple off the Andy Reid coaching tree. Andy Reid's a big fan of rest. So that's something to keep in mind. And you have a short number. Obviously, this is, week 17 induced, -2 here for Buffalo at the Ralph.
Yeah, so this is a game where we've kind of been moving with the market. We were at 5.5, 4.5 on Buffalo. Right now we got Buffalo -2.5. It's exactly because of what you just said. Starting to think maybe the Bills will rest some players. Again, that 2 seed, it doesn't have the value that it normally would. Imagine how much the 2 seed would have meant to Buffalo last year. A first round bye and a chance to host a divisional playoff game in front of their great fan base, Bills Mafia. They would have gone all out for that. And we just don't think that they care that much. And then Miami on the other side, they're trying to get into the playoffs themselves. So that's why you're seeing that line tighten quite a bit.
Mercifully, the NFC East will come to an end this weekend. Only the Eagles have been eliminated. So you have Cowboys at the Giants during the day. And then at night, Washington plays for the division at Philly. So Cowboys are now road favorites here. And it's interesting. Just the fact that it seems like Andy Dalton's starting to feel more comfortable in that offense with all those weapons.
You know what? Dallas has come through big for the book the last 2 weeks. If you remember 2 weeks ago, everybody bet San Francisco at Dallas. Dallas won the game outright. Last Sunday, everybody was on Philadelphia at Dallas. Dallas wins that game outright as well. The public, they're very fickle. We talk about this a lot. They have completely shifted back to the Cowboys. The Cowboys are our widest ticket count of the week right now. We also have a big liability on Dallas winning the NFC East, something that we thought had kind of been buried a few weeks ago. That's in play, too. So the Giants are going to be probably our biggest need of the day on Sunday. Everybody's on Dallas. And we've got that division liability. So we'll be big Giants fans on Sunday morning.
Remember, Dallas was 2-10 ATS out of the gates, the worst in the NFL. They've since covered three straight, but now they're a favorite. That's different. So buyer beware, but Cowboys laying 3 at MetLife. And, you know, Daniel Jones just isn't the same quarterback when he's not fully healthy because he is a dual threat. So not having that mobile component certainly hampers him. Packers and Bears. Green Bay, a lot going on here. Obviously, they are the favorite to be the one seed, -5.5 here at Soldier Field. Bears need a win as well for their playoff lives as well. Rodgers, for the first time this season, is the betting favorite, -260. So it's at, like, the money line of this game and his odds to win the MVP are basically the same. So I would just bet the money line in the game. I wouldn't bet Rodgers right now at MVP, but it's right there in front of the Packers. All they got to do is win at the Bears.
Yeah, and we talked about how the 2 seed maybe doesn't have that much value this year, but the 1 seed means even more than ever. Now you're the only team that gets a first round bye. Also, for the record, we actually have Aaron Rodgers to win the MVP -550. We're pretty confident that Rodgers is going to win the MVP, and we win a huge number on Patrick Mahomes too. So we can afford to put Mahomes out there at 4-1. We got some money to burn on Mahomes. We'd be happy to take a bet on Patrick Mahomes. As for this game, very split action. It's a lot of money both ways. I would imagine we'll end up needing the Bears, but it won't be as big of a liability for us as the Giants or the Cowboys game, because I know there's going to be a lot of money on both sides of this game.
Okay, so that's interesting, by the way, because the -550, because Rodgers is not going to win the MVP if he doesn't win this game. If they don't get the 1 seed and they lose.
I don't know about that. I mean, Mahomes has had a lot of – been turning the ball over a little bit. Maybe okay. – I think I mean, we'll see. I don't – we've been wrong about the MVP award so many times at the Westgate Superbook over the years. I don't want to go off too much here, but I do think Rodgers is a safe play to win the MVP, unless he just has a catastrophe of a game on Sunday.
It's crazy. Mahomes putting up those kind of passing yards, 14-1 record, and still can't win the MVP. Mm-hmm. But Rodgers is the number there. Collinsworth.
Look at Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Look at the season Josh Allen's had. Josh Allen is one Hail Mary away from being 13-2. He's putting up great numbers every week. He's 20-1. So there's a lot of good quarterback play this year in the NFL.
But look, the Packers need the 1 seed. Think about the team contenders in the NFC, all warm weather, right? You got the Saints in a dome, the Bucks from Tampa, the Rams from L.A. Seattle can play in the cold. That's like the 1 team. But it is interesting. Right. And then Rodgers, Collinsworth and Michael's talking about just how strong he is at the line of scrimmage with the hard count, with no fans at Lambeau. Really compelling. So Rodgers was really going to be in a favorable spot. And you and I don't need to go down this path, but look what happens when McCarthy leaves, right? Like, 13-3 last year, and what they've done this year, the 1 seed, it just speaks volumes.
It makes you wonder. It makes you wonder what kind of a career Aaron Rodgers could have had if he'd had different coaching his whole career.
I said it a couple weeks ago on this pod. He's underappreciated. The Sharps fade him. Look at Tennessee. All the money the Titans got last Sunday. Look what happened.
You know, I've said that before about LeBron James. You know, until he paired up with Eric Spoelstra. And then even for a while after he left Miami, I thought he was getting very poor coaching. And it definitely applies to Aaron Rodgers as well.
Let's go to the games now that have one team incentivized. So we have the Ravens at the Bengals. Bengals playing some good ball, get the outright win as a dog for the second straight week. Different quarterback. They got Allen instead of the NC State guy.
Brian Finley. And you know, Allen has been a big upgrade there. That I never would have thought that. I would have laughed if somebody said that to me. But it's made a big difference for that team offensively.
Yeah, no, I said it when I think I had Miami against it. He's bad against like blitzes and exotic blitzes, trouble reading defenses. But when they don't, not that good of a defense like last week, like the Texans, he's got a big arm and he can do enough damage. So the Ravens need help, but they're still double digit, nearly 2 touchdown favorites here at Cincy. Feels like a big number, all things considered, but you know, it's hard to back these teams when the Ravens are forced. But you're paying a tax. When one team has so much to play for in Week 17, you are paying a tax. So anything to report on this game?
Well, no one's hesitating to pay the tax, I'll tell you that much. You know, we've got a more than a 10-1 ticket count on Baltimore. Baltimore has been playing very well the last few weeks. I think that they're right there alongside Buffalo as the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC. And if I was the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills or any of those AFC contenders, my fingers would be crossed that Baltimore does not get into the postseason.
Yeah,
I would not want to see that.
Yeah, I'd much rather face Pittsburgh than Baltimore right now.
Absolutely. I would want no part of Baltimore. If they get a lead and they get rolling, they can beat any team in the NFL. That includes Kansas City. A Kansas City team, by the way, that's been just escaping week after week. There's no reason why Baltimore, if they got out to a lead, couldn't beat the Chiefs.
If that Saints game was 3 and not 2.5, the Chiefs haven't covered in like a month and a half. That pushed for most bettors there. Saints-Panthers. I mentioned the scenario the Saints need a Packers loss, which could happen. Look, they're at Soldier Field. They're not playing like the Bengals and 2 touchdown favorites. Like, they're only 5.5-point favorites, so the Packers can certainly lose that game. So the door is slightly open for the Saints at the Panthers. Anything to report here?
Not really. Not a ton of action on that game yet. There's been a lot of tickets on the Saints, which you'd expect when you're talking about the road favorite. But it hasn't been as high volume a game as Dallas, New York, or even Green Bay, Chicago. There's just been a lot of smaller tickets on New Orleans in that game.
All right, we got Teddy Two Gloves in that game. Just a reminder, 22-5 against the spread in the underdog role. Just remarkable.
Well, they're not, I like Teddy Bridgewater, but he's not facing Dwayne Haskins this week.
No,
so there will be an actual NFL quarterback on the other sideline this week.
But no Michael Thomas still for the Saints. He's not returning to the playoffs. Jags-Colts. Again, may remind you, a lot of these teams, these dogs cover, quote-unquote, have nothing to play for, especially in Jacksonville. They've locked up Trevor Lawrence. The number one overall pick is theirs. First time in franchise history, by the way. How about this nugget? Jacksonville catching 2 touchdowns, 9-1-1 against the spread in their last 11 meetings with the Colts, including the Week 1 outright win.
And we talked about this on Sunday. We made this number. With Jacksonville losing last Sunday and the Jets winning, Jacksonville is no longer incentivized to lose. They can go out there and try to win. They still get Trevor Lawrence. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if we saw some sharper players come in on the dog here. Indianapolis completely gave that game away to Pittsburgh last week, and maybe they're not a team that should be laying a point spread like this.
But then that would mean you're implying the Jags were trying to lose the previous weeks, and we've said that players don't.
Well, I'm just saying that they've got no reason to lose now.
Gotcha.
They've got Trevor Lawrence, and I think you said it already, but it's a great point. These players, they're all auditioning for where they're going to play in 2021. A lot of these players, especially on a team like Jacksonville that's 1-14, they're going to be overhauling their roster in a big way. And a lot of these guys are looking for a job somewhere else next year.
And let's face it, last month you've been kind of going about your business, trying hard because you're professional and all that, like non-guaranteed contracts. But now you can spoil someone else's playoff hopes. It feels like a playoff game. Look what the Bengals did with the Steelers on Monday night. That was their playoff game, right? So I think there's just, when you get these division kind of rivalries in week 17, it adds another layer to it, especially when one team has so much to play for. It almost feels like the other team does as well. Here's another kind of game right there in the upset potential. Tennessee at Houston. We know what happened with the Titans last week at Lambeau. Now they got to go to Houston. J.J. Watt, with some compelling comments, maybe stirred the pot with the locker room. We're not sure, but he certainly has kind of that cachet amongst the locker room. Watson says he wants to play. It's not crazy to think there could be an upset here.
No, there's not. And this is the game that it kind of reminds me a little bit of those games we talked about earlier, that Bears-Vikings game, that Washington-Giants game. Houston, they've got nothing to lose here. It looks like we might have opened this game a little cheap. We had Tennessee -6. They bet that right away. We're at Tennessee -7.5 now. Huge game for the Titans. If they win, they win the division. If they lose, they're probably out of the playoffs entirely. But the Houston Texans, they have talent. They've got a franchise elite quarterback. If they want to go all out, there's no reason why they can't win this game.
We'll see. I mean, look, their defense stinks. We saw it get carved up last week by the Bengals. They have that many losses for a reason. What is it, 4-11 or whatever it is? Like, I'm just saying, it's out there. And I said, 5 straight weeks, a dog of 7 points or more has won outright. So just keep that in mind. This next game fascinates me. We just touched on the Chiefs. I don't expect much. This would be the kind of game where I would favor the Chiefs first half, but not the game, because you have the Chargers, 3.5-point favorites at Arrowhead. I really like the Bolt here. I think the Chiefs, here's the stat. Since 1990, which is a long time, 30 years, right? Teams that have previously clinched a home field advantage throughout the playoffs, so the one seed essentially, right? In week 17, 9-23 ATS.
Wow. Yeah, and I know what you're saying, but I don't, you know, you touched on it earlier. Andy Reid likes to rest players. What is the purpose of Patrick Mahomes even participating in this game?
Right.
I don't see any, I mean, I guess you could argue, well, you don't want to hold him out for this week when you've got a bye next week, and now he's not going to play for two full weeks. But I just think Mahomes is on such another level as a player. I don't even know that that would affect him at all. I think he'd be fine. So I don't think that we're going to see Patrick Mahomes in this game, and that's the way the market is betting it, as you can tell. The Chargers are now a 3.5-point favorite. Plus, Anthony Lynn just finds ways to win close games, man. I mean, we've seen that. Anthony Lynn's a winner. He finds a way to dial it in there at the end. Three straight close wins for the Chargers.
Yeah, back-to-back walk-off wins and then gets the other close win a week ago, yeah. Although I got the push against the Broncos. We saw that coming a mile away. Another game before we get to the Sunday night game, Seahawks-Niners. The San Francisco team really has been kind of difficult to figure out. They went with the quarterback change, went with Beathard over Mullins. Seattle a road favorite, though.
Yeah, there hasn't really been a lot of action on that game, to tell you the truth. We've got Seattle minus 5.5 right now in this game. In Glendale, Arizona, a stadium both these teams are familiar with. We did open it a little higher, and it's come down a little bit, but really not a lot of action so far in that game.
All right, makes sense. And let's go to the Sunday night game, because Washington's got some quarterback issues. The aforementioned Dwayne Haskins, no longer a member of the Washington football team. Eagles have been eliminated, but you figure with Hurts at home at the link, they're going to come to play in this one. Washington, if Alex Smith plays, I do like him. If not, I like the Eagles.
Well, I would disagree a little bit. Washington has more than a few quarterback issues. I mean, you're talking about a team that used a first-round pick to draft a guy just because he went to the same high school as the owner's son and then released him before the second season was even over. And their other quarterback had his entire leg reconstructed during the offseason. They've got more than a few quarterback issues, but if they do get Alex Smith in there, I think they beat Philadelphia, and I think they win the NFC East, which is kind of hilarious. Right now, the Washington is a 2.5-point favorite, and most of the money is on Washington. The thinking is Philadelphia eliminated last week. They won't care too much this week.
It's fascinating. It is fascinating. So no Monday night game, obviously, in Week 17. That is the Sunday night game, because regardless of who wins between the Giants and Cowboys, Washington will still need to win. If they lose, then the winner of that earlier game in the day will be the champ of the NFC East. And with ties, let's not go down that path. It'll be very confusing.
The one thing I would keep an eye on is I heard they closed the Browns facility today.
Yeah, I mentioned
and
that.
And I was just wondering if maybe that could be a game flexed to Monday.
Ooh.
As a possibility. We like that, man. We like primetime isolated games. Those are good for business.
I bet.
So we'd have no complaints if that were to happen.
Yeah, and the Monday schedule is like bare. There's a lot of NBA, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Couple games. Just real quick, the Jets-Patriots, given the beatdown by the Pats and the Jets playing decent ball now, New England's only a 3.5-point favorite at home here, the Jets.
You know, it's funny that the Jets are playing decent ball. I mean, they should have beat the Raiders a few weeks ago, and then they did get – consecutive wins against the Rams, and then I can't even remember who they beat. Oh, the Browns. They beat Cleveland on Sunday. So the Jets actually are playing pretty well right now, and this number has been bet down a ton. You know, we opened this one too high. We opened at 5. They took 5. They took 4.5. Right now we're at 3. Jets plus 3 even money. And it looks like we're going to need New England, a rare time where we're going to need a favorite, because no one is looking to bet on the Patriots right now.
It's funny, Patriots were 7 at the Jets earlier this year, and they're 3.5 at home. One last game, the Las Vegas Raiders at Denver. Gruden's things have been spiraling. Crazy finish Saturday night with Miami on the strip. What do you make of this game?
Well, you know, there's another game we got wrong, because we opened this game Denver a small favorite. And our thought process on that game was the Raiders are finally eliminated from the postseason. Denver's kind of been in this mode for weeks now. And we thought there'd be a letdown spot for the Raiders. The betting market did not agree with that. They have flipped the favorite, and right now Las Vegas is minus 2.5, And it's setting up right now where we are going to need Denver. I don't want to say it's going to be a huge decision because I don't think it's going to be that high volume of a game, but we are going to be rooting for the Broncos.
All right. That'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And like you said, alluded to a second ago, just if we get an island game on Monday, a primetime game that wasn't originally scheduled. All right, Murray, let's talk later in the Bonanza.
Yes, sir.
This is when the cream rises to the top. This is when things get hot. This is oven mitt time.
Time now to bring in another friend of the program, a fixture almost here on Behind the Bets, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL analyst, back with us. How are you, man?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well. I wanted to pick your brain because obviously week 17 is such an animal in and of itself. And we often hear the discussions heading into week 17 for playoff teams, right? The rest versus rust and what's going to happen, all the scenarios. But I imagine it's also a kind of question mark for teams that have nothing to play for. And there's some younger guys. And you want to, as someone in the front office, you want to get tape on some of these guys. It's not just like preseason. Obviously, this year it had no preseason. So what types of conversations is the front office having with a coaching staff for those teams?
Yeah, Doug, this is a great topic, one that we can talk a lot about. You know, context is everything, and we'll get into some of the specifics in a second. But if you're in year one of a program, you know, you're talking a lot about, hey, we got to develop for tomorrow. If you're a guy like, let's say, a Chicago possibly, where you're just trying to hang on, you want to win every game and make the best compelling statement you can. So context is everything. And there is a general axiom, Doug, of you want to win for today and develop for tomorrow. If you're just developing for tomorrow, typically in the NFL, you're developing for the next coaching staff.
Yeah. So you're saying that some players, some reserves might get in on a week set on a non-playoff team.
That's exactly right. Depending on, again, if you're Bill Belichick, obviously you're not worried about your job. Can we see Jarrett Stidham? Absolutely. You know, every rep for him is critical for his development. So I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all approach because there are some teams that are just trying to make the best closing argument they possibly can.
Makes perfect sense. So certainly nuanced. Okay, so there are a few games where both teams involved, or at least one team involved, with serious implications, kind of like coin flip games, if you will. We have Cowboys at the Giants, Washington at the Eagles, Eagles at the Washington, and then Packers at the Bears. So among others. So those three games, which of those six teams, if you will, do you feel most confident saying they're going to win the game?
I think Dallas, when you think about their upside and how they've looked, especially offensively, I think it's taken a while, but Andy Dalton with that receiving core is really good. And outside of James Bradbury, I think the Giants struggle at corner. It's a massive position of need for them going into the offseason. So from a matchup standpoint, I think that's a really good matchup for Dallas. And I don't see the Giants being able to compensate that with great pass rush. So I think this could be a high-scoring game, one in which that Dallas should be able to control the game through its passing game.
Yeah, I agree. I think when the first injury happened with Dak, many of us thought Andy Dalton would be okay because of all those weapons. It just took him some time to kind of figure out the offense, to figure out how to use those weapons. And I misspoke for a third time. It is Washington at the Eagles, and that game Sunday night, obviously. All right, so we have some other situations with sizable favorites, if you will. And we've seen at least a 7-point or higher upset. So a significant upset in the week 17, about 3 to 5 straight years. I'm going off memory here, but we've seen one. So these teams that's supposed to win don't always win, even though they have everything to play for in week 17. I'm gonna list them, a few of them here. So Bengals, Ravens, Lions, Vikings, Panthers, Saints, Jags, Colts, Texans, Titans. So like I said, the team that has so much to play for with seeding or even playoff lives on the line. What of those teams do you think can pull off the upset of those like underdogs, so to speak?
I like Carolina, and here's why. You know, Matt Rhule is in year one of a long-term program. He's going to be there for a number of years. I think they've done a lot of nice things in laying foundation. They had, I thought, a productive, albeit unusual draft by taking only defensive players. You know, Bridgewater obviously hasn't probably lived up to where they thought he'd be, but there's a lot of things, especially on defense, that I like about them, and I think they're a team that this will be a game where we'll get an A effort from all their players because they know they're being evaluated by a guy that will be there next year, where candidly some of these other situations, be it Cincinnati, Detroit, Jacksonville, Houston, major question marks if already the change hasn't been made. So because of that, and because of Matt Rhule, who I believe in, and I think he'll be a very good coach long term, I think Carolina has a chance of being the Saints.
I would agree with that. I think the Saints, also some of these teams that like need something to happen to improve their situation or even just open the door for them. Like they need obviously the Packers to lose, although that's supposed to, that should be a competitive game. But you wonder the mindset. No Michael Thomas, obviously, for New Orleans still. So I would agree with that. That makes a lot of sense. Mike, always good information here. Week 17 is always intriguing for many, many layers to this discussion. So we're appreciative to lend your brain to us to pick.
Thanks for having me, and happy holidays.
Same to you, my man.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that time of the program, we're talking a little Baby Bankroll Bonanza. How is your niece, Mr. Murray?
You know, she's really good. I've already, you know, it looks like I'm going to fall short this year in the Bonanza.
What?
I don't care because I've already bought her so much stuff anyway. I was, in fact, before my last meeting, I was looking online for more stuff to buy her. So I'm totally fine with it. She's doing very well. She has so many outfits. I think they have to put her in two or three outfits a day just to send a picture to the person that bought it before she grows out of everything.
Fashion show, yeah. Look, it goes fast, man. My first niece that I had, I was buying all those gifts, like you said, every time you look, you're on Amazon or something. 9 and a half just had her ears pierced. So,
oh my gosh,
for the first time, it was a big moment. Got a group thread text, that was fun. But just enjoy it, savor it all. But here are the standings. You, Prince of Props, did not deliver for you.
Yeah, he texted me on, what was that? That was Christmas Day, right?
Yeah.
He took time out of his own Christmas Day to apologize to me for, what was it? It was Emmanuel Sanders. Was that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
I told him it was okay, and that I still wished him a happy holiday season.
Okay, so you're below zero now. You're minus 400 because of the Prince of Props. And then I did hit my teaser. Bears and Bills, no sweat at all.
That was a good one. That was a good one. And Chicago really took care of business in that game. You know, Chicago, I think there were some people that thought, you know, maybe these guys shouldn't be laying that many points. I don't care who they're playing. Bears took care of business on Sunday. That was a good teaser.
Yeah, no, I didn't really need the points, did I? So 68-25 is where I'm sitting. And I guess I'll go first because that's the way we roll, right? I like the Chargers. I'm going to lay points on the road with Anthony Lynn against a team that's 14-1. Obviously, it's the week 17.
Hey.
I said the stat earlier. It's not just Mahomes. It's the mindset of this team. Won the Super Bowl last year. They're all in on the playoffs. They don't want to play this game. Will they play hard? Of course. The guys who play will play hard. The backup's not terrible. Like, they're going to be fine. I think what the Chargers are doing, they're kind of like Herbert's been playing well. It's a springboard into next season. It's kind of like this bowl season, right? Get like a returning quarterback next year. I just think there's a lot of positive momentum with the Chargers. I'll lay the 3.5 and a Chiefs team that's just kind of checked out. They're almost bored the last month and a half. Got up for the Saints game and finished it off eventually. But I think this game could be like kind of like a pretty lopsided Chargers win. So I'll lay the 3.5 and I'll do it for a dime.
I'm rooting for the Chargers because I want to see them close the season with a 4-game winning streak and maybe buy Anthony Lynn. Ooh. Another year in the sun as the Chargers coach. It would be funny for me. I would enjoy it. So I hope you win that one. And then I'm going to go. I think this number's gotten a little too high personally. I see a couple of 10s still out there. I see one at the Mirage, at Caesars, at William Hill. I'm going to do a dime on Steelers plus 10.
Ooh.
They're on the road at Cleveland. I think that number is a little inflated. So I'll go with the Steelers for week 17. And I'm going to go back to the Prince, too. I'm going to go back to the Prince. I'm going to, you know, he's a D.C. guy, and I'm going to put some pressure on him to pick a winner for me on a prop bet on the Sunday night game.
Okay, good, because I actually almost went Browns, so I have basically plus 110 now on my pick. I did some research. Duck Hodges on the practice squad, so be careful. Be careful. I don't know if he's going to get promoted to Big Ben, the backup. I do
Play
think you're right.
Pick.
I just don't know if the Steelers, how many of those guys are like banged up. I'm wondering who they're going to trot out there and just the mindset of the team. If there's a team that feels like the Chiefs checked out in the regular season, it's the Steelers. So we'll see.
Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, this is an ugly board. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there's a lot that I like this week. There will be a lot more information that surfaces between now, Wednesday morning, and Sunday. So keep your eyes on Twitter. A lot of information is going to come out.
Yeah, and don't you think I'm going to ease into the playoffs and all that?
This thing's far from over.
This contest is far from over. So I'm going to get aggressive.
Good.
All right, bud. Happy New Year to you. And we'll talk to you next week or next year, as they say.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week, buddy.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Behind the Bets. Thanks to Mr. Executive Director John Murray and also Mike Tannenbaum. Always appreciate the insight from our NFL analyst and really get that front office perspective, and he really knows the league inside and out, and talking to our other analysts in Bristol as well. So thanks to everyone, and it's been a rocky 2020, to say the least, and unprecedented. We hope that 2021 is more precedented, but it is what it is, right? And the sports world kept us sane at times. And hopefully this podcast injected a little sanity as well and the betting dialogue. And we appreciate everyone downloading and rating and reviewing and subscribing and all the feedback on Twitter and everywhere else. And I mentioned it a little bit ago, last couple pods. We're going to have some fun stuff, some new segments coming up in 2021. Get back to the T-shirt giveaways. Still have a full box. I got to give those away. But it's been a fun ride, fun 2020, all things considered. Appreciate everyone's loyalty here on the pod. And a lot of good, fun stuff around the corner. So happy New Year to everyone, and we'll reconnect in 2021.